If you're a leader, and I mean especially someone right at the top of an organization, you know the feeling. It's that crushing time pressure, the constant flood of information. But maybe the worst part is the isolation.
It's a unique isolation,
You just look around and wonder, who can I actually trust? Who's going to tell me the truth, you know, without an agenda? Where do I even go just to think?
It is the ultimate paradox of leadership, isn't it? The higher the stakes, the less unfiltered feedback you get.
Exactly.
And that's precisely why these CEO forums, these peer advisory groups, are so vital. They're an antidote. Our research shows these rooms are one of the few places a leader can think clearly, speak honestly, and grow intentionally.
So for this deep dive, we looked at decades of observations from facilitators, researchers, even members inside these really high-performing groups.
Right.
And we wanted to find out what separates a good group from a truly exceptional one. The sources actually call them transcendent groups.
And our mission today is to give you that shortcut. We've boiled it down to 10 core values. But more than that, the specific observable behaviors that really make the difference.
These aren't just words on a poster.
No, not at all. These are rigorous habits that these leaders live by in that room.
So the 10 are confidentiality, vulnerability, commitment, preparation, generosity, courage, honesty, respect, empathy, and finally, growth mindset. Let's dig in.
Let's do it.
Let's start with the foundation. The research calls it establishing the safe container. And it makes sense, right? If the room doesn't feel safe, nothing else works.
Absolutely nothing. And that starts with confidentiality. It's described as a sacrosanct value.
It'd have to be airtight.
Completely. It's the air the forum breathes. If you have even a tiny worry that what you share, a sensitive business problem, a personal struggle might leak out, you'll self-censor.
And the whole thing becomes superficial, useless.
Exactly. The forum fails.
So how does that look in practice?
Yeah.
It's got to be more than just signing an NDA.
Oh, far more. One of the key behaviors is that members actively avoid triangulation.
Triangulation. What do you mean by that?
So let's say a CEO shares a crisis. Maybe a merger is going south. If another member is approached outside the meeting, you know, by someone fishing for details, they don't just stay quiet. They actively shut the conversation down. They refuse to be part of that gossip triangle.
So they're not just passive secret keepers, they're active defenders of the space.
Precisely. And the second behavior is even more profound. They literally treat each story as if it were their own.
Wow.
It means they take on the psychological weight of it. They afford your story the same fierce loyalty they give their own deepest secret. That's how high the bar for trust is.
Okay, so with that safety net in place, you then need to know people are actually serious. Which brings us to commitment.
Yes. And the research stresses this has to be visible, not invisible.
What's the difference?
Well, invisible commitment is just saying, I'm committed. Visible commitment underpins that psychological safety. It means if I'm going to be vulnerable with you, I need to know you'll be there.
So just showing up?
Showing up consistently and on time, that's table stakes. It signals respect.
Yeah.
But it's also about how you show up.
Right. Not just being physically in the room.
No. It's being mentally and emotionally present, engaging, listening, phone away. And the best groups, they support each other outside the meeting, too. It's a continuous relationship, not just a monthly appointment.
That deep commitment feels like it flows right into the next value, preparation. This is really about respecting everyone else's time.
It is. The sources say preparation is what turns a simple chat into a strategic breakthrough.
Dude, you can't waste a minute.
You just can't. If you walk into a room of 10 leaders and you haven't done your homework, that's just, it's pure disrespect. The elite forums demand that members arrive having already reflected deeply on their issues.
So they're not just describing a problem, they're ready to actually work on it.
Yes. They've provided context beforehand, they've reviewed any materials. It elevates the conversation from what should I do to something more like, here are my three options. Based on the context I sent, what am I missing?
That's a huge difference.
It's everything. And once you have those mechanics, safety, commitment, preparation, then you can get to the really tough human stuff.
Which brings us to vulnerability. I mean, for a CEO who's been conditioned to always have the answer, to wear that armor, this must be the hardest part.
It is. It's so hard. Because their whole professional identity is built on being strong, capable, in control. Admitting a huge mistake feels like it could be career suicide.
But the research calls it the gateway to genuine connection.
It is. You have to be willing to drop the armor. The way they do it is through a reframe. They start to see asking for help not as a weakness, but as an act of resourcefulness.
That's a powerful shift.
It is. It's just smart leadership. And they also get comfortable going deep. A great group won't let you just skate on the surface of a problem. They'll push you to find the root cause.
And being that vulnerable requires a certain generosity from the person sharing. Which, I guess, leads us to the value of generosity itself.
It does. And this isn't about money. The research says it shows up in dozens of micro moments.
So what does that look like?
It's selflessness. Giving without keeping score. Offering your expertise, your network, your time, with no expectation of getting something back. A really concrete example is something the sources call tiger teams.
Tiger teams. Okay, break that down for us. It sounds a bit like jargon.
Fair enough. Yeah. A tiger team is basically a small subgroup, maybe two or three members with very specific experience, say in M&A or crisis PR.
Right.
They volunteer to dedicate significant time outside the regular meetings to help a peer through a specific acute crisis. It's a rapid response advisory board, and it's an incredible act of generosity.
Wow.
And sometimes, you know, generosity is just modeling vulnerability yourself. It gives others the unspoken permission to do the same.
Let's talk about respect. The source says it's a behavior long before it becomes a value. What does that mean?
It means you have to practice it before you can feel it. Respect here is about valuing someone's experience, even when, especially when, it's wildly different from yours.
We're listening to understand, not just to reply.
Exactly. Valuing the perspective of, say, a nonprofit CEO on your manufacturing problem. But here's the key tension.
Okay.
You have to do that while also challenging each other robustly. These groups aren't about being polite. They challenge ideas hard.
But without diminishing people.
That's the perfect phrase for it. You can destroy the idea, but the person must always leave feeling valued and respected. The critique is on the strategy, never the person.
That makes a lot of sense. You know, you mentioned a lot of these forums are full of type A problem solvers.
Mm-hmm. Always ready to jump in with a solution.
Right. But the best groups prioritize empathy first. Why slow down? Isn't fixing the problem the whole point?
That is a great question, because efficiency can sometimes be the enemy of effectiveness. If you jump to a solution too fast, you might solve the wrong problem. Empathy forces the group to pause and ask clarifying questions before offering advice. It's about understanding the leader's context, their board, their industry, their team.
It's about validating the emotion behind the problem, not just the data.
100%. You have to connect with the person before you can effectively advise on the problem. That's what ensures the advice is actually useful for them and not just generic.
Okay, that brings us to our last set of values, which are all about driving clarity and improvement, starting with courage.
Yes. Courage is the engine for all the uncomfortable but essential conversations.
Every leader needs someone who will tell them the truth when everyone on their payroll is too scared to.
Absolutely. And in these forums, that's your job. The courageous behaviors are things like asking the hard question everyone is avoiding.
Pointing out the elephant in the room.
Pointing out the elephant. Challenging a core assumption, even if it's uncomfortable. You have to be willing to be momentarily unpopular to help your peer in the long run.
Courage and honesty are obviously linked, but the research makes a critical distinction. Honesty has to be delivered with care.
Honesty without harm. That's the goal. The difference is in the delivery and the ownership. The feedback has to be direct, yes, but also constructive.
So it's not just that was a bad idea.
No, it's sharing what you really think, not just what's easy to say. And it's about owning your viewpoint.
What do you mean by owning it?
Instead of saying your strategy failed, which is blaming, you'd say something like, from my experience with a similar issue, I found that X happened, and I wonder if that's what's going on here.
So you offer it as your perspective, your data point. It's less of an attack.
Exactly. It keeps the focus on the insight, not the judgment.
And that brings us to the final and maybe most important value, growth mindset.
This is what the source calls the most defining value. It's the core belief that everyone in that room, no matter how successful, can and must get better.
It's an antidote to complacency.
A powerful one. When you have a room full of highly successful people, it's easy to think you figured it all out. A growth mindset sees continuous learning as a massive competitive advantage.
So they don't see setbacks as failures.
They see them as data, they welcome feedback, and, crucially, they apply it quickly.
And what's the key behavior here?
It's a commitment to what's called the beginner's mind. It means you walk into every meeting, no matter your experience, open to a new idea, a new framework. The moment you think you know it all, the value of the forum just evaporates.
So let's bring this all back to you, the listener. We're looking at 2026 and beyond. A world with unprecedented volatility, huge technological shifts.
The pressure is immense, financially, culturally, ethically. In this environment, isolation is so costly, your blind spots are genuinely dangerous.
And these 10 values create an ecosystem for leaders to navigate that.
They do. It's a place to confront complexity with clarity, to test ideas safely, and to build resilience through that shared vulnerable experience.
It's a force multiplier.
That's the perfect term. Think about the cycle. Confidentiality protects the room, vulnerability opens it up, commitment stabilizes it, and a growth mindset propels it forward.
The group becomes a true community.
And that community makes everyone a better leader, which creates better organizations. It's this rare space where, as the source says, excellence and humanity coexist.
So that leaves us with a final thought for you to take away. We've talked about these 10 values in external peer groups. But think about your own internal leadership team meeting.
Mm-hmm. Where the pressure is at its highest.
Exactly. Which of these 10 values is most absent in that room? And could you, maybe next week, decide to integrate just one? What if you chose the value of courage?
Interesting.
What if you started your next meeting by dedicating the first 5 minutes to just identifying the elephant in the room? The thing everyone knows is an issue but is afraid to say out loud? Start there. Start translating these habits into better performance today.